Welcome back to Recovering From Everything, a podcast for everyone who has ever had anything happen to them ever. If you are here for an update about the ex, you will be sorely disappointed. You know, I feel like I should stop calling him my ex at some point because he definitely isn't, and we're definitely together in some capacity. I'm just not ready to relabel. I'm not ready to relabel yet. I've got a lot of walls up, which I'm working on, you know, pulling bricks out one by one. I guess you won't be sorely disappointed because that's really the update. He's doing great and we are working together to figure it out, I guess, on how to move forward. Yeah, that's the update. Anyways, it's Mother's Day. Guys, I started writing episode notes yesterday and I got so emotionally exhausted that I took a nap. Like, I could not function and I went unconscious. So I put it off a little bit. I wanted to record yesterday and I couldn't because I was KO'd. But something didn't feel right about the show notes. Like, it just wasn't coming out the way that I wanted, and there was a lot of dualities that I was having trouble with, which I think is where the emotional exhaustion came in. Like, the thought of Mother's Day, and it's something I've been thinking about all week, takes it out of me. Not because I don't love my mom. She's great. She works really hard and does what she can to maintain a relationship with me and to show me love in the way that she shows love. But it's because I'm so fucking resentful at all of it. And so juggling these two sort of opposing feelings for like the hours that I had put into writing the episode notes was really tiring, really, really tiring. So I've kind of scrapped the notes and I'm just gonna more or less freehand this episode, okay? It's a freestyle. That was so bad. I might actually edit that out. This episode, I was gonna call it the Despite My Mother's Day episode. But in fact, I will be calling it Recovering From the Mother Wound. How to know if you've got one and what to do about it. Let's open up some wounds. Away we go. Now, in the interest of my own mental health, I'm going to eliminate any anecdotes about myself as best I can. My relationship with my mom is really difficult for me to process internally. And when I am feeling triggered, it takes a lot of work for me to come out the other side of that feeling. So I accept that this whole episode is going to be triggering as fuck for me and possibly for you, but I will keep it as general as possible and just give you a whole bunch of information so that you hopefully will get to a point of greater self-awareness, but also I'll sort of push you in the right direction of what you can do to kind of cut those apron strings. Make sense? Okay. So the mother wound, it's called an attachment trauma. So if you don't know anything about attachment theory, here's like the Coles Notes version. Attachment theory, strongly evidence-based suggests that the attachment that infants and young children form with their mothers determines the way that they operate in interpersonal relationships later in life. So if you have a caregiver, your mom especially, who is really attentive to your needs and, you know, shows up for you emotionally, physically, you're going to feel really safe and secure in that you know, first major relationship that you have with a female. Therefore, you will probably feel pretty safe and secure with female interpersonal relationships later in life. Not to mention the relationship you have with yourself. Having a secure attachment with your mom lends itself to self-confidence, self-trust, good boundaries, all that great stuff that we all aspire to have all the time. Having a insecure attachment with your mother, so your mom has unresolved trauma, your mom is maybe emotionally immature, your mom maybe looks to you for soothing, for comfort, maybe your mom is super critical, all that stuff makes you feel unsafe and insecure, which then translates into your interpersonal relationships later on in life. Do a deep dive in attachment theory if you've got a couple of hours. Figure out your attachment style. This came up for me with one of my friends earlier this week, and she texted me a couple days later and was like, my life is ruined now that I know this, but in like a really good way. Because, you know, once you know something, then and only then can you start to heal it. So take a deep dive into attachment theory, figure out your attachment style. And yes, it's all your mother's fault, but now the responsibility is on you to manage some of those symptoms. Again, I am kind of freestyling this. So if this is sort of convoluted, forgive me, but that's just what I'm like when I have to think or talk about motherhood. I could actually go on for eons about attachment theory. It is so interesting. But in the interest of time, and again, my mental health, I'm going to let you in on what some of the symptoms of a mother wound are. Okay, just make mental checks in your brain if this applies to you. If you have a lot of check marks here, you might have a mother wound. Okay, so some of the symptoms of the mother wound as they show up in your adult life, and according to my demographics, most of you are adults and most of you are women, so I'll start with the women first. Here's how the mother wound shows up for women. People-pleasing and emotional caretaking, often to your own detriment. These feelings also cause a lot of resentment towards the person that you're people-pleasing or emotionally taking care of. Okay? You do the people-pleasing, you take care of this person's feelings, you lose a part of yourself, and now you hate this person, but you do it anyway and you're trapped in the cycle. Symptom one. Another one, paralyzing perfectionism. Paralyzing perfectionism. Another one, a lack of self-confidence. Next, self-sabotaging patterns in relationships, friendships, and romantic relationships. A cruel inner dialogue that belittles and berates you. Check. A lack of motivation to start or complete new projects. A paralyzing fear that you'll fail, it won't be good enough, you'll get it wrong, so why even try? A deeply rooted feeling of unworthiness. So even people who love you are getting it wrong. And if they only knew the real you. And you feel like you have to maintain an illusion of who you are. Feeling competitive with other women because you see women as a threat. Feeling pressure to conform to rigid expectations of womanhood. You know, you're not quite feminine enough. You're too loud. You don't like to cook. Your home is too untidy, whatever, whatever. Feeling as though you must remain small or quiet or, quote, good in order to be accepted and loved. But also never feeling good enough, no matter how much you bend over backwards for people. Right? This is the people pleasers. You frequently fail to set strong boundaries. Maybe you can't say no. you either fail at this or you have absolutely no idea what a boundary even is. You fear failure. You fear disapproval, but you also fear success and fulfillment. You consciously or unconsciously wait for your mother's permission or approval to live your life. And finally, anxiety, depression, eating disorders, addictions. Is this you? Awareness is so helpful, but also super fucking annoying because you're like, well, shit, I have a lot of work to do. Thanks, Ma. Okay, so those are some of the symptoms for women. So what are some of the symptoms for men? When a man has a mother wound, what does it look like in him and to us? Okay, for men. Men have a really difficult time with intimacy in their relationships. They have difficulty trusting people, especially female romantic partners. And they tend to either be exceptionally anxious or clingy, or extremely avoidant and dismissive. And there are three types of insecure attachment styles. One is anxious attachment and one is avoidant attachment. You'll probably know which one you fall under just based on those two words alone. Or it could be a mix of both of those, which is a really uncomfortable cocktail, which is a disorganized attachment style. They have trouble being vulnerable because they have such a deep fear of abandonment. They have an inability to trust people, which may show up as insecurity, jealousy, or suspicion. If a man has a mother wound, they might feel really entitled to be cared for in the same way that his mother cared for him, which usually means that they didn't have enough independence or control over their own lives when they were growing up. So the mother made a lot of the decisions. Or this sense of entitlement could flip the other way, where if he had a mother that was really sort of overstepping and taking care of all the needs and making all the decisions, right? Like the idea of like the matriarch. A man later in a romantic relationship with a female could really, really, really crave a lot of autonomy and crave a lot of control over that relationship. Make sense? There's also the symptom of infidelity. So men with a mother wound, because they have an unstable relationship with their mom, will most likely transfer this to creating an unstable relationship with their female partner. They also might have like a deep, deep emotional void that wasn't met in childhood. And so they seek to fill this void with a lot of female partners. And if they did have an overbearing mother, they might seek to gain control by having a lot of partners, sort of like, I'm going to control as many women as possible. Make sense? Men might also be really oversensitive to criticism. So even valid complaints or, you know, really gentle conversations could be met with stonewalling, aggression, defensiveness. If they were either excessively coddled by their mom or their mother was hypercritical, the man doesn't do well with either of those things. Okay, while some men's mother wound can show up as extreme neediness or a lack of independence, it could also flip the other way, where if they were pretty much forced to take care of their mother's needs as children, they might struggle with excessive caretaking of their romantic partners. So effectively, they're treating you as though you're their child because they grew up treating their mother as though their mother was their child. So if their mother, when this man was growing up, their mother had mental illness, physical illness, addiction, any other sort of extreme situation in which she relied on the child to meet her needs. This can show up later in romantic relationships. And then it can also show up as sort of any like intense attachment to the mother. So he might be comparing you to his mom all the time, which is quite the strain on a romantic relationship. Also, have you guys heard of the Oedipal complex? That I think it's like a Greek story about Oedipus who kills his father and marries his mom, and it's like unknowingly, but there's that theory that at one point all men want to do that. There's, you know what, women don't get off easy because there's the Electra complex also, in which young girls want to marry their fathers, but that's another podcast. But the idea of it is that as a child, the man experiences a subconscious desire for his mom and an animosity towards his father. As fucking creepy as that is, that's just life and who you are as a human. So that is an example of an intense attachment, comparing your partner to your mom. And also, if the mother doesn't approve of the romantic partner, this actually has like consequences in the relationship. You know, the man can defer to his mother's opinion on his romantic partners or take like relationship instructions from her. And this one sounds wholesome, but to me, it sounds a little creepy. If the mom is this man's best friend. Sorry, I just threw up in my mouth. His mom is his go-to person for everything. So he's going to share secrets with her before he talks to you. She gets to know everything first before the partner. There's this sort of hierarchy of relationships in his life, and you ain't in there, girl. You ain't in there. You're like a distant second. Yeah, mommy comes first. Okay. And yes, great. Have a nice relationship with your mom. But like if a man's like, my mom is my best friend, I'd be like, oh God. Okay. On the flip side of that is like estrangement from his mother. If the man is very estranged from his mother or very emotionally distant, you can probably expect more of the same in your relationship. If a man displays a lack of respect for women, I'm going to sidebar this with, I've had a bunch of male clients, both for like substance use recovery, but also for personal development. And the attachment issues that they have with their mothers are always so obvious to me by the way that they speak about women. Like it is glaringly obvious. And one of the things is they have a lack of respect for the women in their lives. So the way that they speak about them, there's just this like disdain and this like resentment that comes out, which indicates to me that there might be a very toxic mother-son relationship that existed in the past, but might also still exist today. And with a lack of respect for women, like that shows up in the behavior. So multiple, let's call them friends with benefits, but there's not a lot of friendship necessarily there. The names that they call these women, we'll just call them nicknames for the sake of this podcast. They might treat the women in their lives, they might be neglectful, controlling, humiliating. All of this shit to me is just you've got a strange relationship with your mom that you need to look at. Again, please look up attachment theory. Okay, those are signs and symptoms in both men and women on whether or not they have a mother wound. Did you check those boxes? Did you check them for your partner? 16% of my listeners are men. 16% of you. Did you check any boxes there? Okay. No more excuses. Let's move forward. Okay, so at this point, you're probably like, cool, great. Thanks, Kinga. Thanks for ruining my life and possibly my partner's life. So what do I do about this mother wound that you just ripped the Band-Aid off of? Number one, the thing you're going to have to repeat to yourself multiple times a day, and especially during any interactions you have with your mother, are that you are not the parent. You are the child. Okay, repeat after me. I am not her parent. Her mother is her mother, not me. Which brings us to your mother's mother. Listen, if there's anyone you're going to blame for anything, blame your grandma, all right? And if we're going to go deeper, blame her mom. Blame your great-grandma, okay? Your mom is probably a better version of her mom, okay? So there's something to be said there. There's like some healed stuff because your mom probably did X, Y, and Z differently with you than what was done to her. So what you got is an improved version of what your mom grew up in. Now, if that brings a little bit of compassion into your heart, that's great. But compassion can be a slippery slope because feeling compassion towards someone, for some of us, puts us back into like a emotional caretaking position. So don't do that. Pump the fucking brakes. Go halfway down the hill of compassion, not all the way, okay? Your mom is most likely an improved version of her mom. So great work, mom. That still doesn't make you her fucking parent. And I hate to say this, but you don't owe her anything. Your mother is a grown-ass adult who has the right, should have every opportunity to meet her own needs. You are also a grown-ass adult who needs to meet your own needs. I don't like using my teacher voice, but sometimes I have to. I feel like the teacher voice is why my clients really love me, to be honest. You are not your mom's mom. You are not your mom's counselor. Okay, so those harsh words said, let's get to healing your mother wound. When you are ready to start healing some of this stuff, you must get to a point where you acknowledge your mother's limitations and how they are projected onto you. I will interject with an anecdote because I actually have a fun recent example of this. So when my mom was growing up in a little town in Romania, it was considered in poor taste to let anyone know that you had any money. Okay, so like you had to be like poor and struggling to be accepted. Doesn't sound like much fun, but okay. So I jokingly said one day that I wanted to be Oprah rich. And she started to nudge me to not think that way or say things like that because what would people think? So this was just a few months ago and I had a few years under my belt on working on my mother wound. So I said, you know, that's just your shit, right? I think I probably actually just said those exact words. My mom's used to it. It's fine. And she explained to me that it was like when she was growing up and when her parents bought their first car and bought their apartment outright, it was like a big fucking deal because they lived in a communist country and everything was supposed to be like even Steven, which really just meant that everyone was fucking poor. And all of their little neighbors were like, who the fuck do you think you are? Kind of thing. Okay. So, okay, she doesn't want me to do things where people may not like me because that is her deepest fear. And I know that her deepest fears show up in our conversations a lot. This is what I mean. You sort of have to be an observer of the clusterfuck rather than an active participant. Like, I have to pause so frequently when I'm uncomfortable and be like, wait, is this my shit or hers? So acknowledging your mom's projections are great, but now you also have to block them from infiltrating your life. So you can visualize this as like a big old brick wall between the two of you in that moment, and her projections, so her requests, her demands, her comments, her needs, whatever, are just like a tennis ball being thrown at the wall, and they're just bouncing back. They're just bouncing back to her. Okay. So what does this sound like? Wow, mom, that sounds like it would have been hard on you. Mom, it sounds like you're anxious right now and maybe we should just chat later. Mom, that's a valid fear, but it's not actually something that I am afraid of. Thanks, mom, that just doesn't fit into my day. And so on and so forth. Bounce it back, bounce it back. It's not yours. It's not yours. And just because someone throws something at you doesn't mean you have to catch it, okay? So some of the ways you can heal this stuff, according to the internet and my own experiences, please remember that you as the child are not responsible for meeting your mom's unfulfilled aspirations, nor are you responsible, capital letters, bold, underlined, italicized, for saving your mother. Again, she is a grown-ass adult, and it is her right to have the opportunity to save herself. Do the work yourself. You can do it. I know you can. Also understand that while your mother is responsible for her own healing, she may or may not do that. You kind of just have to swallow that pill. Do not confuse being loyal to your mother as being loyal to her wounds. Figure out the difference. You are the child of your mother, not her savior nor her therapist. You can love your mom and reject healing her wounds. This is a tricky one for people. I know this is a tricky one for people. This is a tricky one for me. Allow yourself to acknowledge your inner child who felt unloved or shamed or guilty or neglected. Allow yourself to acknowledge that. Acknowledge that your mom may have also felt those emotions for just as long as you have been. Acknowledge that many of your interactions are just two wounded inner children having a little argument. Do not listen to cultural norms that take away your power. This is the shit that people say, look at all your mother has done for you. Fuck that. Tell those people to shut the fuck up. You need to stand in your personal power as much as possible, as often as possible, if you have a mother wound. You can also see if you can build a new relationship with your mother as an adult by setting boundaries that honor your personal healing and your growth. If you don't know what boundaries are, I will tell you. It is basically a list of little rules you have for yourself about what is acceptable to you and what is not acceptable to you. And when something comes at you that is unacceptable to you, you say no. You say things like, that's a valid fear, mom, but it's not something I'm afraid of. Thanks, mom, that just doesn't fit into my day. Now's not great. I'll give you a call later. Shit like that. Am I blowing your mind right now? Like, did you know that that was a thing that you were allowed to do, have boundaries like that in the relationship with your parents? Because I did not know this for about 35 years. My number one rule, if something my mom says causes me to have a physical reaction. So this is going to sort of force you to be a little more in tune with your body. If my body reacts, tight chest, shortness of breath, I feel like I'm trapped in an enclosed space, that kind of feeling, I don't do anything. I pause. Because if I don't pause, whatever is about to come out of my mouth is most likely going to meet her needs, or I'm going to be really, really aggressive because the expectation that I throw away my needs in order to meet hers is there and I can feel it and I will not fucking do that. So I'm either going to dishonor and disempower myself or come at her like a caged fucking animal that's just been released back into the wild. Neither of those things are things that I want to include in my day. So I pause, I pause, I pause, I pause, okay? And sometimes it takes me days. Like I will have a physical reaction. I will have a mental reaction. I will make up stories. I will spiral. I will have fake arguments, blah, blah. And it takes me days before I get to a place mentally where I can even open my mouth. But that's just the way it is. I completely accept that about myself. And it shows so much progress on my part. Just those little things. Okay, so it's not all bad. Obviously, it's not all bad. Generally, I think a lot of us do want to have relationships with our moms that are easy on our nervous systems. So I said earlier in this episode that yesterday when I was writing the show notes, I had a really, really, really hard time because of the dualities that exist, right? So while I do love to live in resentment of my own mom, as many people do, it's not all bad. And I have to acknowledge that I have to put in time to see the contributions that she has made to my life while acknowledging that that is a very slippery slope for me. I do need to see all of the good because I don't like how I feel when I'm super resentful all the time. And there are plenty of lovely things that my mom does. And she's got a ton of very lovely qualities about her. For example, because of her, I am super into classical music, fine art, actually any kind of music, both of my parents actually. I am naturally not an ignorant person. I'm curious about the world and about other people and cultures and some things I'm kind of ignorant about, but it is what it is. But mostly, generally, I am not, because growing up in my house, the worst thing that you could be called, the worst thing was ignorant. It was just met with such like loathing, and it caused me to just be really curious about most of the world. My mom's also super generous, and she will help me out in any way if I let her. And despite knowing that I have strong boundaries when it comes to her, she hasn't complained once. And she does what she can to be accommodating to them. She's also smart as fuck, and conversations with her are usually really interesting and super stimulating. She loves to laugh. She has always been super affectionate, which a little bit is a mixed message when there's a lot of violence in the house growing up. So I don't like to receive affection as much anymore, but I am quick to offer affection. I like that about her and about myself. The way she was with me, like the way that she treated me and the way that she treated herself, has made me compassionate and strong despite it all, or probably more so in spite of it all. I am vague but open with her about all of my healing journeys. And I know it scares her. It scares the shit out of her. I can tell because she has to change the subject within 30 seconds of me sharing anything. But she still buys me journals every year, and she gets me whatever self-help book is on the New York Times bestseller list, which is pretty fucking brave of her, I think. Actually, one year for Christmas, she got me this book called The Body Keeps Score, The Brain, Mind, and Body in the Healing of Trauma. No joke. I was fucking furious at the time. I was still carrying the idea that like nothing will ever be good enough for her and I'll always be the sick one in the family and, you know, she should be the one reading this book. It took me a while, but I see it now that A, as the person who was quite complicit in traumatizing me, this is her way of helping me heal. B, it's probably as close to an apology as I will ever get for anything. And C, she really is supportive of me in all the work that I do. And though she can't quite talk about anything, this is how she shows her support. And like, that's like nice, you know? Oh, also, she always has really great TV show recommendations for me. Like, she totally gets my taste in really quality, murdery, psychological, mysterious TV shows. Oh, and also biographies. Like, she knows that I love a biography of a really solid human. Oh, also, she took my sister and I to see Hillary Clinton speak, Michelle Obama speak, and last year we took my daughter to see Lady Gaga, and she like super values strong women like that, and I love that about her. I think it's a really fine, almost like a moving target sort of, between mothers and their children on who's supposed to nurture who, who's supposed to meet whose needs. And I think the answer is to figure out what role you're supposed to have and stand really firmly in it. I'm a mom, but I'm not your mom. You know, I have a whole other person whose needs I have to very securely meet, right? I have a daughter. I have to make sure that she's building self-confidence. I have to make sure that she trusts me. I have to make sure that she feels safe and seen and heard all the time. I've only got energy to do that with one person. I can't do that with another grown-ass adult. That's your job. You know what I mean? Again, this was nothing short of a nightmare to think about this episode, to think about how the mother wound affects all of us, and to think about how to not pass it down to our own children. This was horrible. I'm really glad that Father's Day is like a month away, because I need a break from thinking about my parents for a little bit, and I'm sure you do too. I do want to acknowledge that there are a couple of my friends who have lost their mothers or are mothers who have lost their children. And maybe this episode wasn't for you, but if you did listen and it maybe gave you a little bit of perspective on yourself and maybe helped you heal something or maybe reopened some shit that now needs to be healed, I hope you were able to get something out of this too. But I'm gonna end it there. So thank you for listening to another episode of Recovering From Everything, a podcast for anyone who's ever had anything happen to them ever, including having a mother. Love you. Have a good week.